We've been looking at concepts of the kingdom of heaven, of the kingdom of God, and of that state of being and existence that is both our promise and our truth now, today. We've talked in the past about the nature of the kingdom of heaven as not just that to which we look forward to in the future, not just that which is on the other side of this life, but that which actually is here today. When I ask you, are you living in the kingdom of God? Are you living in the kingdom of heaven today? Are you living eternal life today? I would pray that your answer would be yes. I am living in the kingdom of God. I am living in the kingdom of heaven. I am living eternal life today. And will continue to live, because God will keep me, will continue to live on into eternity beyond this life. That's what it means to be part of a communion of the saints, my friends. To be part of a vast cloud of witnesses. To be part of a community of believers that gathers on Sunday mornings for worship and Saturday nights for talent shows and fundraisers and during midweek for Bible studies and choir practices and for wonderful times of joy and fellowship and study and communion. The communion of the saints is not just the collection of everybody receiving Holy Communion. The communion of saints is not just those who've gone on to glory. The communion of saints is everyone who proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But what we find here in Revelation for today, Revelation over here in chapter 7, we have an image of the communion of saints in glory. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude, that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Not just Americans, not just white people, not just English speakers, but everybody from every country and every continent, from every racial group and every language group. Every nation will have people in this group. A great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands, cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation! Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and unto the Lamb." This is an image of the communion of the saints, my friends. This is an image of, in metaphor and symbolism, of what it will be like for us in glory to be gathered around the throne of God and the presence of Jesus Christ, in the presence of all those who have gone on ahead of us and all those who will go on after us into glory. This is an image of going into glory and gathering together with the saints of God and proclaiming salvation, which belongs to our God. And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Notice this list. Now, you have to be careful when you read Scripture, because sometimes you can get caught up in what is actually poetry trying to literalize it. None of this should be taken absolutely literally. This is imagery. This is like a painting. Not a Rembrandt, but a Picasso. This is like a poem. More like a Japanese haiku than a Shakespearean sonnet. It's filled with images, sounds, experiences that we are supposed to receive. And it's supposed to form in our minds an image, a mental picture of an aspect of eternity. And here we have one of these little poems that is dispersed throughout the book of Revelation. And there are elements to it that are very important. Take a look at them. What are the angels singing? They're singing Amen, which means so be it unto you. Let it be so. Blessing and glory and wisdom. Blessing. The blessing of God, the blessing of the Lamb of God, the blessing of the divine master of all creation. The blessing of God comes to us. Blessing and glory. God's glory. And wisdom. Well, if it's God's wisdom, who cares what other kind of wisdom there might be? Blessing and glory and wisdom. And thanksgiving and honor. So not only are they saying that there is blessing and glory and wisdom in God, but there's also thanksgiving in God. Thanksgiving for the blessing, for the glory, for the wisdom, and honor, because it comes from God. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. Now, part of me would say that's what ought to come first, power and might. I mean, God is God because God has all power, and that's that is an essential part of God's nature. But notice, it's not first, and it's not even second, and it's not third, it's not fourth, and it's not fifth in this hymn. Power and might come sixth and seventh. Blessing and glory and wisdom come first. Then thanksgiving and honor, then power and might. Be to God, be to our God, forever and ever, that is time without end. Amen. So they begin saying, so be this, and they end it with, so be this. This is a description of God's very nature, my friends. The nature of God is the one who gives us blessing, and gives us glory, and gives us wisdom, and gives us thanksgiving, and gives us honor, and gives us power, and gives us might. This is an image of God who is grace, giving to us grace. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from? Good question. I said to him, sir, you are the one that knows. Why are you asking me? You're dressed in white. You gathered around the throne. You're the one who's here. You're one of the elders. Why aren't you telling me this? Why aren't you asking me this question? Then he said to me, in other words, it was a rhetorical question. Then he said to me, these are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Those who are gathered around the throne, the great multitude from every land and every race and every language and every nation, the great multitude are those who have come through the ordeal. The ordeal of what? The ordeal of life. The ordeal of persecution. Persecution for being a Christian. Persecution for proclaiming God as King. Persecution for standing up against injustice and evil and oppression. Persecution for standing up, in this case specifically, against the Roman Empire and the Roman Empire's persecution of the church. Trying to snuff out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trying to quiet and suppress this subversive word that God is King and that Christ is Lord. This subversive religion that was causing so much trouble in the empire at the end of the first century. This people, they were being oppressed. And what John was saying in writing to those people in Asia Minor, he was telling them that we will enter into glory and we will gather around the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb, and we will sing praises to God which give glory to Him and which describe our relationship together. And when asked, who are these, we will be told, These are those who have passed through this ordeal. In other words, my friends, this is a proclamation of hope for you and me. This is a proclamation of hope for the people who heard it initially, and it's a proclamation of hope for you and me today, in whatever oppression that may face us. And the oppression that we face when we proclaim the name of Jesus and are told, don't do that in public. Of the oppression that we face when we attempt to erect signs and reminders of our faith. In India today, there is a United Methodist Church in India today that has been asked to take down the cross off the front of their building because it is an affront to the people in their community. Wow. That's oppression, my friends. They were told that if they, by a particular individual, that they did not take the cross down off the front of their building, this individual would show up with a bulldozer to destroy the church. And this individual said, I will take the cross from the outside, but it will stay inside. And instead of just having a cross on the building, they ended up doing the hedges in the shapes of crosses. And they ended up wearing crosses throughout the entire community. And they put the cross in their hearts and proclaimed it with their living. They faced oppression with faith and hope. And this promise here in Revelation is true for them as well. When they enter into glory, they will have robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. The ordeal, the smut, the dirt will be washed clean. And they too will be able to gather around the throne and proclaim the name of Jesus. A couple more verses here. This is again in poetry now. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship Him day and night within His temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of the water of life. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We come to the table of the Lord today needing to be fed so that we will never again be hungry. We come to the table of the Lord as a foretaste today of this wonderful time of nourishment, of the banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the banquet at the end of time. We come to the table of the Lord today as a foretaste, a little appetizer, if you will, of the coming kingdom of God. But like most appetizers, I'll go to Chili's, and I love their onion. What's that called? Awesome Blossom. I love the Awesome Blossom. It's awful bad for me, but I love it. It tastes wonderful. But if I order an Awesome Blossom, I can't eat my dinner. There's too much there. And so I have been known to order appetizers as my main course. It's like my nephew ordering dessert as his main course. And those appetizers fill me up so much that I don't want to eat anything else. And you know what? That's how we should approach the sacrament today. As an appetizer of the proclamation that we will make in glory, and of the wonderful covering and shepherding and comfort that we receive in glory from God and from our Savior Jesus Christ. This is but an appetizer, my friends. But let it fill you today. Let it fill you and strengthen you and empower you to live and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ even amidst persecution. Jesus had gathered His disciples around Him on the mountainside, and He was giving them this wonderful sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon of the Beatitudes. And And he said, blessed are those who persecute you, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, there will be no crying. There will be no hunger. There will be no thirst. We will all be filled. And God will wipe away every tear and heal every disease and bless us with his love and presence. There are two elements of communion, two wonderful gifts in communion. There's the element of bread. Bread is a wonderful reminder for us. First of all, the crust is brown. Depending on your skin coloring, it might look a little bit like your flesh. The bread is the body of Christ, the flesh of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, this is my body, which is broken for you. The bread, through the bread, through the breaking of the bread and the eating of the bread and the receiving of the bread by faith, we receive into ourselves the literal flesh, communicated spiritually, the literal presence, communicated by the power of the Holy Spirit, the literal love and grace of Jesus. The bread communicates to us that which his flesh carried, our sicknesses and infirmities. He was whipped. He was scourged. Blood flowed forth. And Scripture says, by his stripes, the stripes on his skin from the whipping, we were healed. This is a promise for those who are ill today. The glory, the celebration, the wisdom, the power, the might is not just in heaven. It's here today. And we too can gather around the throne and receive the healing presence of Jesus in the bread. But there's not just healing for the body. Jesus at the table said, this is my blood. The blood poured forth from the cross, bringing forgiveness of sin. Washing away of sins. There's healing for body and the bread. There's healing for the spirit in the blood. Come and receive the wonderful gifts of grace that come from the altar, from the real presence of Jesus, from his love and power and might. Come to the throne with the saints in glory. Join the communion of the saints in communion today. And give thanks to God for the wonderful gifts that he gives. The gifts of bread and wine, the gifts of his body and blood, the gifts of his grace and peace, the gifts of his power and might. Give thanks to God for his love. Will call us into that communion of saints. And I look forward to the day when we all gather together around that throne and proclaim him our Savior, our God and King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The prayer needs of the congregations. No prayer needs for celebration?
Yes.
How long?